Thank you, Bill. Appreciate being here today. How many of you all have heard of the dollar value? Raise a hand. How many of you all feel comfortable explaining them to your customers? Raise your hand. Went down a few. Hopefully today, as we go through some of the information and review some of the dollar value concepts and tools for your customers, there'll be a little piece you can take home, and you can encourage us on additional ways to make that education bridge even better and better. When you think about your history as a breeder and what in beef cattle science we've gone through from the genetic aspects, we've come a long, long way in terms of from just looking at average daily gain to being able to sort out genetic values and report those expected progeny differences or EPDs. And now we've stepped into the realm of indexes. And so that list will continue to grow and evolve as we become better statisticians and learn how to evolve in this as well. In terms of data management, yes, data still does arrive in this format, and Luann and her crew definitely has it streamlined to make it accessible for genetic prediction tools. And we have a lot of great features with American Angus Associations in terms of having a huge database that you should be very proud of in your contributions to it. Just in looking at 2004 calf crop and the percentage AI influence to that, also noting that the top 50 sires produced almost 90,000 calves, or 30% of the total registrations, 64% of all AI sired calves. Another big ticket item in terms of an impact in an industry, embryo transfer calves and their uniqueness are a reality for our genetic prediction systems as well, about 9% of the registrations. So we have a lot of nice opportunities in working with a variety of types of data to give your customers, as well as you yourself and your breeding program, decision-making tools. With 19 EPDs out there and a list of indexes, these tools become more and more viable in terms of making genetic progress in the desired direction. You have to think about capturing value in a variety of areas, and sometimes in the office we get focused on one trade or one key item, but you become the masters of multi-trade selection, whether it's through calving ease, cow size, growth and efficiency, and carcass merit. But very rarely are effective programs based on single trade selection. You can sure get in trouble when you chase the extremes, and I think all of us at one point have dealt with that. When we look at our customers, I mean, they can really break out into some number confusion in terms of identifying and using the various values that we work with every day, but they may not necessarily think of the genetic components every day. So you try to help them sort through those tools. And the dollar values and indexes in general are geared with that commercial bull buyer in mind. And that's really the key target audience. You're trying to simplify a whole list of genetic values, put an economic twist to them, and report them in dollars, because everybody likes to talk about dollars, a very friendly unit to work with. So in terms of coming up with solutions for commercial bull buyers, the dollar values are key in working with your customer and bridging that information gap. And it's so nice to have these programs because you become the teachers. It becomes train the trainers, and so we welcome your ideas on that as well. Simply, you can think about EPDs as generating outputs. You make genetic progress, directional change in weaning weight. Then those pounds of weaning weight have value, and that's an output that comes back to that cow herd in terms of profit. But you've got not only this output to consider, but you every day deal with expenses. And what do the key items cost you that go into producing those outputs? Well, indexes are going to make an economic adjustment, give you a biologically twist economic value and put those in dollars. So encompassing an expense component as well as the typical outputs that you're used to in a multi-trade fashion. simple definition of indexes. I think the three bullets that I like to remember is they're challenging to develop, but they're simple to use. You're going to look at differences, whether you're comparing two bulls, two sets of bulls, or comparing an animal to a breed average. Take the differences, do the math, simplistic to use in making those relative comparisons or rankings among animals. They're nice because they're multiple traits. They have the economic component, and you can make directional change in multiple traits because of the way the indexes are by design. Indexes aren't new, and I think that's a good thing to remember when you're visiting with customers about these values in your sale catalogs or on the internet. Swine industry use them extensively. Dairy has a variety of indexes. The beef cattle breeds have evolved in terms of making these values available from an international perspective and then on into the U.S. as well. Some of the review that I'd like to share with you today on the indexes focuses on those that we have currently available. Key popularity in the post-weaning terminal indexes such as our beef value or dollar B. Feedlot and grid associated with that component, and we'll break that down. Also, our wean calf index. You don't want to forget the cow, and those are the pre-weaning pieces that we'll share as well. And then tell you a little offshoot of dollar W, the cow energy value for your specialized user. First, beginning with the feedlot value. It was a nice, straightforward one to do initially, encompassing over 500,000 records from the feedlot perspective of Angus-based information. And sometimes the key questions that you receive are, what EPDs go into these? And so I think those are the first types of things that you need to consider being able to answer. When you know about the feedlot component and yearling growth, that it's only logical that yearling weight and weaning weight are those pieces involved. We also let those two traits talk to each other in a sense, looking at the spread and their relationship. We encompass in there the value of average daily gain as well as the cost associated with it. And there's some feed consumption and cost differences in that assessment as well. It's reported in dollars per head, and so it's really geared towards that feedlot segment. This was the first index that we worked with our industry analysts and encompassing those economic values that were necessary. It only seemed logical that the next component would be a grid value because with the breed database of carcass information. And a reason that's a really good index to think about is because you're always trying to do a multi-trait angle on carcass, and your customers are too, whether they're juggling, thinking about carcass size, quality grade, red meat yield, or reducing the incidence of extremes. That would be a good example that you could work through with people in terms of an index example that would be helpful so you didn't run away on a single trait selection, but you put balance in that system. With the grid value, you can readily see that the carcass EPDs and the ultrasound EPDs would definitely be key elements in a dollar G. With those EPDs that are there, we're going to balance the amount of information that's available in these two arenas. So if there's very little carcass information contributing to the carcass EPDs and more on the ultrasound, we have a way to tweak that index to account for that, and the equations do that as such. There's quality grade and yield grade schedules that are encompassed into this based on industry grids and breeder rolling averages to put those pieces together. Another nice take-home point on dollar G is it's going to simultaneously evaluate quality grade and red meat yield. So you get those two pieces in a simultaneous package. Well, in some cases, in dealing with these terminal or post-weaning and carcass value indexes, you may just want to make it simple and just look at dollar B. And so the beef value, or dollar B, is going to pull together the post-weaning performance and the carcass merit in dollars per head into one nice, neat, clean value. In fact, we see cases where breeders like yourself sometimes don't print all three or just print the dollar B as a value to use and present to a potential customer. Another take-home item, there's no cow components in here. So this is a post-weaning terminal carcass component here and no cow components included in the calculations. Just to show you a snapshot, and this is definitely accessible through EPD, a pedigree lookup, as well as the dollar value search on the web. In an example of an animal pulled up, the dollar B is presented, as well as the feedlot value and the grid value. If you pull up an animal that just has a feedlot value and no dollar B, then there's no carcass information for us to utilize, as well as ultrasound to complete the package that you need for the beef value. When you look at the feedlot value and grid value, these aren't perfectly additive, and that's a question that we receive occasionally. And the reason that those are not additive is because we can't just directly jump in and add F plus G, but rather we make some tweaks or adjustments to account for the potential of heavyweight carcass genetics, and to make sure that we don't double count weight. We don't want to double count weight in the feedlot and on the rail. This snapshot just shares with you as well the economic parameters that are encompassed in the various indexes. For feedlot value, we have time on feed, ration cost, and fed market price. And then we figure the value of gain as well as the cost of feed consumed. And in the background, there's equations that pull all that together and utilize those EPDs that we talked about. In the grid value, there's a quality grade schedule, prime, CAB, choice select spread, standard discount. So you've got premiums and discounts associated with that quality grade schedule. Yield grade, premiums and discounts, ones and twos receiving a premium. Yield grade three is par, and then discounts for fours and fives. Average carcass weight where the systems run off of this is a little over 800 pounds. So again, we're evaluating the quality grade and red meat yield simultaneously. Another point to note is there are some breakout portions. Say you wanted to have an emphasis on red meat yield and wanted this in dollars per head, you could use the yield grade impact component, and that's $7 on this particular animal, and you could focus on that in dollars per head and utilize that value as a particular selection tool. Currently on the Sire Search, and you all have seen this probably before in terms of doing the sire search on the main and supplement sires, you now have that detail to look at the quality grade impact and the yield grade impact. We call those dollar QG and dollar YG, and those are actually broken out, and you can do individual sorts on that. Now, there's a lot of cases where a potential bull buyer just really needs to look at dollar G or dollar B overall for that system. But if there was some key selection emphasis placed on red meat yield, then the dollar YG gives you that avenue. We sure don't want to say that we forgot the cow, and the next logical index would be the weaned calf value. The four areas to keep in mind would be birth, an area that generates revenue in terms of if you reduce the difficult birth in those first calf heifers, then that brings revenue back to that cow herd in terms of more calves produced. So that's a revenue generating area. And then weaning direct and maternal milk, they generate revenue in terms of pounds of calf weaned, but there are also expenses associated with them. So weaning weight direct growth in the calf has value in pounds, but there's maintenance and energy requirements to that calf producing that growth that sure have to be adjusted for in that component. Maternal milk, again, you've got to adjust for the requirements or energy, lactation energy requirements to make that piece fall through too. Cow size, using primarily cow weight as well as some tweaks for height on a condition score 6, and utilizing the EPDs we have for mature size, that becomes an expense item. So revenue and expense, and then expensed out. So that's how that index, the four pieces, pull together. It's also reported in dollars per head, and just as a refresher on what those economic impact EPDs would be birth weighting, weaning weight EPDs utilized. And sometimes we get the question of why isn't calving ease direct in there yet? Well, this index was pulled together before we completed the calving ease direct maternal work, and so that's an ongoing effort for us to look towards incorporating that into the index. Milk EPD utilized, mature weight and yearling weight associations, as well as the height component included. So if you didn't have mature cow weight as an EPD, we'll use the fact that we know yearling weight and mature weight are genetically correlated, and so those two systems can communicate from a genetic perspective. On dollar W or wean calf value, the assumptions included in that are base calf price, cow heifer mix, it's 80-20, a cow weight of 1,300 pounds, and then feed energy costs are incorporated as well. There's a lot of resources that went into the development of dollar W, and I guess it was a lot more complicated, it seemed like, than working with carcass traits. But we sure learned a lot from it, and a lot of good offshoot projects have come about as a result of it. Research resources, as you might imagine, Cattle Facts, National Research Council, you know, we've got to look at those lactation and energy requirements in this, U.S. Meat and Animal Research Center, a lot of good help from university and extension budgets, and the American Angus Association database. In terms of breed averages, dollar values also have breed averages, and we report these as you're used to with current sires, current dams, and then the non-parents for dollar W, F, G, and B. So those are good reference points too, because we do sometimes get the question, you know, where is zero and is average zero? And so these are nice lookup or key features to have at your fingertips. I mentioned that some good offshoot projects came about as a result of working with Dollar W, and one of these would be a more specialized index, and that's why it's reported in the maternal trait section on the listing of EPDs and dollar values. We call it Cow Energy Value or Dollar EN, and probably the take-home message for this is that if you've never been concerned with cow size and milk EPD levels before, you probably won't place much emphasis on dollar EN. But you may have a particular customer that is interested in really tailoring that milk level and mature size to their production environment. And with that in mind, you can use this as kind of a key window to help those producers in terms of it's reported in annual savings, dollars per cow per year, and it incorporates in what we know about the lactation and maintenance energy requirements. It shows up at the bottom of the lookup on the wean calf value in this example. Higher values are more favorable. And don't get caught up too much on the particular of this if you haven't really worried about these issues before, but sure be aware of the fact that it's not reported in mega cows, but it's reported in dollars. So the savings, dollar values, higher, more favorable. Well, how could you use this information? If you had a very limited feed type scenario, you could look at a viable range of dollar EN and start conservatively with that and go within the selection of animals to look at dollar W, say, for that pre-weaning index. And again, if abundant feed is available from one year to the next, then maybe you wouldn't place so much priority on the cow energy value. With looking at dollar W, if you're chasing the highest wean calf value, then what you need to remember are those revenue and expense components. And dollar W assumes that you will have those resources in your production environment from 1 year to the next. So if you chase an extreme in an index like dollar W, then you want to think through that. Do I have those production resources from 1 year to the next? And so if you don't, then you're up here and maybe putting a little conservatism on it, and otherwise you can make your choices accordingly. Just briefly, I'll mention that there is an interactive component available on AAA Login to customize the assumptions that go into this. Most people just work off the three-year-old rolling average components that go into dollar W and dollar B, but you do have that opportunity to make those specific adjustments if you wanted to modify the base cap price or go down and capture a different choice select spread in working one-on-one with your particular customer. You could do some sorts of your animals either through your custom within herd work or custom registration lookup. And this would just be an example of that output, and you could utilize it in this form or put it into a spreadsheet, share with them the various assumptions, and work through the customized indexes as well. I just also want to mention that we're always looking for additional tools, and Luann did a great job of outlining the key pieces that you feed back and give them great ideas, and we sure want to incorporate biological tools and animal science properties into this. And one of the data search items that you might not be familiar with is on the main site, and it's called Angus Optimal Milk. And it might be a key item that you might want to make available or share or work with your commercial bull buyers on. It has three steps, and we're not going to worry too much about the details, but the first step is you help them put their cow size into a range and help them pick a target weight. Work with them in terms of identifying what their current milking level is. And there's various help screens, for example, on the milk level. If they've used Angus bulls before, you can look at that average milk PPD, select that range, and help them arrive at that target. Step two, feed cost. Get them in a low or average or high feed cost range. Most folks don't, at their fingertips, know what their feed costs are. We worked with various resources, university and extension personnel as well, to make available a resource by state of looking up some ballpark feed costs. In this example, $225 in Missouri. So it's a nice tool and an addition to helping them streamline that choice. Step three, feed variability. Again, are those feed resources extremely variable? Good 1 year, bad the next. Very much an item to be conservative on if you choose extremely variable. And then you've done the three steps. The results that come out of this not only report an optimal milk level, but this graph depicts it best. Where this curve flattens out, this optimal milk range would be between about 17 and 21 pounds EPD milk in that range where that curve is flat. And as it tails down, that's a losing money proposition there. So the optimal component will be a curve presented for each individual producer using this site. And there's a summary table that shows not only those assumptions, but that range of optimal milk EPDs and some additional help screens to talk through that. I'd be remiss to not share with you what our research initiatives are as we look ahead, and Luann did a good commercial for me in terms of what we're really spending a lot of emphasis time on right now. With the indexes, you've seen the post-weaning and carcass component, and you've seen the pre-weaning values, whether you're looking at dollar W for the pre-weaning or dollar B for that terminal type index. And so the one we'd like to have next would be some sort of reproduction index. And so you have to do a lot of genetic work in terms of working with individual pieces of traits that are lowly heritable and more complex to work with. When we say lowly heritable, that means there's a small genetic component. Heritabilities are usually about 10%. And there's a big environmental component. We've got 10% due to genetics and 90% due to environment. So that really gets your attention in terms of it being more difficult data to work with, and you'd like to have large sets of observations to handle. We're doing some research right now in terms of heifer pregnancy genetic values, as well as stayability components or probability that a cow remains in the herd to a specific age. And so these require breeding records and just what can come out of some of those data entry screens that Luann shared with you to enter your breeding records would be an example like this, where we could calculate heifer pregnancy EPDs and they'd be reported in percent. You've got another set of EPDs, Cavanese direct and maternal, that are presented in percent probability as well. And then you would generate a database, run the EPDs, make those available, and of course they'd be normally distributed in this particular example. But if you want these heifer pregnancy EPDs, then you're going to have to turn in data. And that's where we really make a plea to you to continue to turn in your breeding records. And we're particularly interested in preg check data on first calf heifers. Just to show you a schematic here of thinking about it, and I know it's not the most fun data and easy data to turn in, but we want to have an assessment of the events that occur in a cow's reproductive life. What are those events? And try to outline those in those boxes in that screen that you saw. Breeding season on a cow or a heifer, you may have a variety of AI dates, in this example just two, and a pasture in and a pasture out date. And then we're encompassing that information into working with those traits, whether it be stayability or heifer pregnancy. We're sure we're going to want preg check data, days preg, and we want not only the pregnant ones, but those open breedings turned in too. And I know y'all are great managers, but I just feel certain every herd is not 100%. And so we need that assessment in analyzing this type of data to come up with genetic predictions. Also, disposal codes and dates. If you know the outcome of that female and the reason why, then you have those disposal codes in A here to use. Very important data. I know it's quite a contribution that you all are already making in this arena. In addition to repro indexes, we're now venturing into work in terms of feed efficiency and some ongoing projects to look at that biological efficiency and net feed intake in females and working with various universities to do that. And there's some good opportunities to look at this. It's a very hot topic right now, not only in just feed efficiency measured on bulls, but to carry that out through a particular animal's developmental life and even into a lactating cow component. So those are just some areas for you to think about, and you'll see research ongoing. So what historically might have just made you think about weights and ratios and estimated breeding values, now you've evolved into EPDs and being a trainer of those tools, and then now the indexes. So as we look ahead, we hope to grow additional trait research and get more tools out to you.